Your On the Mark podcast is loading now. The On the Mark podcast is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company, family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia on Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
Greetings and welcome on board the WKOK live telephone talk show On the Mark. I'm Mark Lawrence, subpar host of the show. We are so glad to announce to the entire world that our superlative co-host Joe McGranahan is back.
Oh, is that part of your contract now that you have to say such nice things about
superlative?
Me?
Well, I've been calling you a superlative co-host for a long time.
Well, all right. It just seemed more enthusiastic and more genuine today for some strange reason.
I assure you.
It was none
There's
of the above.
No additional
right?
sincerity here. All right. Joe is the mayor of Shamokin Dam. He's on the Bar Association's Judicial Review Committee. He's the
Investigative Division.
Oh, dear. I better write that on here.
See, there's two segments to it. But it's irrelevant to what we're discussing
really?
This morning.
Let's pass with that. Okay,
yes,
we'll skip the rest of that. But yeah, Joe's eminently qualified. Let's just leave it at that for a wide range of opinions. It's too bad your opinions are so conservative. We could use you on the other side of the more common sense, reasonable side of the aisle. But, you know, to each his own. On the Mark is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company. Check them out at sunburymotors.com. Our toll-free line is open. Call us 1-800-795-9565. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com or text us at 70236. For Text Connect members, you can reply to a previous message or start up a new one at 70236. If you haven't signed up for Text Connect, you can do so at wkok.com.
Covered all that fairly quickly this morning.
Yes. So you have ultra-conservative views, and your son called you out on a Father's Day card to that.
Yes, my son sent me a very fascinating Father's Day card. It says on the front, "You're a great dad despite your horrible political views."
Horrible. That's funny. Funny word to describe.
You open it up. It says, "Love you anyway. Happy Father's Day. Love Mike and Steph."
Isn't that nice? My daughter and I probably agree on things on the subject of Father's Day.
Well, my son is a liberal, and I am a conservative. So we have very vibrant discussions, but we manage to have them with respect for one another's positions and with a sense of humor.
Well, your son's a good egg, that's for darn sure. He's a super good liberal, great movie critic, probably a wonderful father, or I'm going to assume.
Oh, I'm sure he is. He certainly is.
Certainly has all the things you need to be a good dad. Wonderful wife. And
excellent training from his parents.
Oh, yeah?
Okay. More from his mother
Where
than
did you
from
get
me.
It? Where did you learn it?
From my wife. She straightened me out fairly quickly after we got married.
All right. Super. All right. Well, welcome on board, everybody. We can talk about any topic you wish. 1-800-795-9565. We have three emails that were left over from last week that we didn't get to Friday. Mr. Ben Reichley and I hoped to get into a couple of these emails, but then time did not work in our favor.
Well,
but
what prevented you? What was on your agenda
we
for Friday?
What were we talking about? The state budget, and then we got into education funding in Harrisburg, and of course, I know for a fact that if you take more and more and more money and you pour it into education, the outcomes always get better. He argued that that isn't necessarily so, but we really kind of got stuck on the fact that taxes are going up in local school districts where they have $10 million in reserve funds. So, you know, you're paying an extra $60 or $80 or $120 a year next year, extra over and above the, you know, anywhere between $1,200 and $3,000 you're already paying for your exorbitantly high school taxes. But the money's going into a reserve fund, you know, so that a rainy day fund in case they need $10 million someday.
Well, it's always good to save for a rainy day, don't you agree?
$10 million?
Well, you know, one of the stories you sent me over the weekend talked about Pennsylvania and the fact that we have a surplus this year, but it still isn't necessarily good for our financial condition, according to the bond raters. Pennsylvania is still rated as one of the lowest states because we refuse to take action to solve our systemic budget problems.
Well, and one corollary to that, we talked to Stephen Bloom, Vice President of the Commonwealth Foundation, this morning on WKOK Sunrise. And incidentally, it's a conservative group. More liberal or Democratic groups are going to be on in the future. We got criticized almost immediately for not having a counterpoint on his show. But in any event, he said that one of the ideas with a budget surplus should be to use the funding to back up the rainy day fund.
And that's what they're talking about doing with it, which makes sense because Pennsylvania doesn't have enough money put aside for that proverbial rainy day.
Well, he's also indicated that the concept that was floated briefly, it's like whack-a-mole. These ideas pop up, then you never hear from them. Well, the idea popped up of a tax decrease in Pennsylvania, either on the corporate side or for the personal income side, but that got beaten down
immediately. Well, and I think it should. I mean, I think we've got to solve our systemic budget problems in this state so that we get our better credit rating. That costs us less money when we do want to borrow to do something or have something major we want to undertake. It only makes good sense to be fiscally responsible. And we've had enough. I mean, I liked Ed Rendell personally, but, you know, he just threw money around like it was, confetti.
One of our listeners says, why is it bad for a district to have $10 million? Dave Ramsey has 6 months of expenses standing by for local school districts. That would be $25 million in a savings account. I don't think they put it in a savings account.
Do you know how much we have in our rainy day fund right now? Someone at our Transportation Committee meeting Friday cited this. I don't know whether it was Linda or someone else. We have enough money put aside, and they say that you should have enough to run the government for a month, maybe. We have enough to run it for 4 hours.
Well, yes, if all expenses are still going through, but that's not, you know, I understand the rainy day fund, but that's a misleading remark. Nobody's going to run the entire state exclusively on the rainy day fund. That's just, you know, that's whatever sliver of the state budget. But the rainy day fund should be bigger. I'm just saying that's a bad example.
Well, I'm glad you agree.
Yeah, so, but I don't see any problem with that.
Well, there is a rule of thumb, though. That was the point of it. The rule of thumb is that you should have a rainy day fund sufficient to run your state government in the event of the worst possible scenario for maybe a month.
Right. No revenues at all or another recession. 1-800-795-9565. So we're recapping briefly this idea that school districts insist upon having very large reserve funds, $10 million in the case of Selins Grove and Chickalamy. And let's see what else. So we don't want them, don't let them know that you're supposed to have 6 months of expenses. That's for a household, you know, where you can go down to zero revenue. But school districts don't go down to zero revenue at any point in their future. So it's not the same thing. I understand they do want a little pad in their budget so that, you know, you can write checks freely to your to compensate your teachers, reimbursements and so on, but $10 million is too high.
Well, what would you be satisfied with just out of idle curiosity?
I don't know. It would seem to me $1 or $2 million would be adequate for a rainy day fund. I mean, what happens that you can't plan for, borrow for, deal with? I mean, if you get a roof collapse, you might have to borrow some money.
Well, do you have money put aside for a rainy day at your house?
Of course.
How much?
Oh, my lovely
bride. In
terms
of how much, you know, what can you finance?
Well, my lovely bride.
A month of living?
My lovely bride says we have about 6 months of expenses now.
Okay.
I'm not able to tell you what a year's worth of expenses are, nor what the 6 months really means, but she says we're well suited for a rainy day.
So she doesn't let you touch the money then. Wise woman.
Yeah, maybe I should take that to heart as I complain about school districts.
You'd be out buying that new Ford instead of saving for the rainy day.
Yeah, she tells me when I can buy vehicles. No? All right, so that's still kind of okay. Out there. Well, if folks have an idea, they can call us about that. We wouldn't mind hearing about that. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number.
And we have several emails, as you alluded to earlier in the program. This one is too on the mark. It says, the media's feigned indignation regarding Trump's response to George Stephanopoulos' deliberately misleading hypothetical question is ridiculously transparent to anyone paying attention. They didn't care when the Clinton campaign paid for Oppo research on Trump through a multi-layered transaction designed to create plausible deniability, and they didn't care when Adam Pencilneck Schiff was caught on tape listening to who he thought were Ukrainian operatives offering dirt on naked Gate and Trump. The New York Times headline is typical of the liberal media spin, where they recharacterize Trump or any other conservative comments in a way to make it more inflammatory. The real crime is Trump's team allowing a Clinton crony posing as a reporter to have 2 days of access to the president. The obvious result is always selective clips, which are intended to smear rather than inform. I challenge you to play the recording on the air of Schiff listening to the Ukrainians or the Russians, a crime, according to Than.
All right, 1-800-795-9565. Lance, you are on the mark.
Wow, that was quick. Why, anyway, when we listen to Bernie Sanders, who wants to kill all the, figuratively now, kill their money anyway, all of the billionaires, does he realize what that would do to Europe? Because that's what they run on. The tourism and the high ticket items they make. I mean, think about it. I mean, just in the automotive realm, we don't make $1 million cars, $2 million cars, do we? And, you know, who buys the Maybachs and the Maseratis, you know, the Lamborghinis, you know, at all? And also a fashion, okay? Who buys those $25,000 dinner jackets and them $10,000 shoes? The money that they would tax away and destroy, that is a lot of that goes there. In our
yeah, but I think he's arguing for fairer taxes in the U.S., that the wealthy pay some, you know, something proportionate to their wealth.
Oh, I know. Oh, I'm understanding what he's doing. But does he realize what that would do to Europe with that excess money?
Well, I think $10,000 pair of shoes are probably an extravagance almost anybody can do without.
Well, I understand that, but you realize the jobs that that creates over there?
Unless you're the Italian shoemaker.
Well, you can only make so many pairs of $10,000 shoes.
Yeah, I understand this, but I'm talking about the amount of people that depend on that.
On accessible. So you say a lot of that would go down. That would be reduced spending if the wealthy were appropriately taxed.
Yeah. Okay, here's something to think about. The automotive industry in the USA, we say, well, if it wasn't for the cars, our economy would fall apart, right? It's a huge amount. It's about 11% of GDP is cars. We have just about one car per person. Okay, it's like 960 or thereabouts per 1,000 population. Germany now, they have about 550, I believe, per 1,000. Take a guess what? How much of their GDP depends on their auto industry? And they got all those trains, you know, everybody runs around on and things like that.
Couldn't even venture a guess. You just tell us.
15.
Okay.
We'd have to
add a bigger percentage.
Industrial military complex to our car industry to come up with what they depend on for their cars, and they certainly do not use them there.
Are BMWs expensive in Germany?
What's that?
They're not imported.
Right. Are BMWs expensive in Germany?
Well, yeah, I guess. I really don't know what they cost there.
Okay.
But they're not really that expensive here either. I mean, a lot of them are assembled here.
Right, and they have a regular price here. Well, I think if they assemble them here, they don't pay a tariff. Or, you know,
yeah.
Some sort of an import fee.
I mean, it's something to really think about. Also, who's going to spend, really, $2,500 a day to gawk at the fjords? I mean, that's, I think it's like 40% or thereabouts of most of those countries. You know,
did you mean fjords?
Well, I'm just being funny.
Okay, well, you can be funny, but people ought to understand what it is you're saying.
Don't joke about words to Joe.
Oh, okay. All right, yeah.
He takes it personally.
Uh-huh.
All right, we got you. Thank you so much, Lance. Yeah, good.
I mean, it's an idea.
Good points all. 1-800-795-9565. If we tax the billionaires, they're going to spend less money. So we're going to, but then you and I, working class dogs, maybe our taxes will go down. If billionaires are taxed fairly in the U.S., then maybe our taxes, Joe and my taxes will go down. Well, Joe already pays.
What's a fair tax? for a billionaire?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe if everybody that makes $20,000 or more pays a 2% income tax, like a straight tax.
Do you want somebody who makes less than you do deciding what your tax rate ought to be?
Somebody
because they think you're making more than you should, or you have more than you should?
I don't believe someone's income determines their wisdom when it comes to taxing rates.
No, but we're sitting here right now saying that we believe the rich don't pay their fair share.
Only because the rich will tell you that if you ask them.
I've never asked I've never had one say to me, gee, I'm not paying enough tax.
Oh, my gosh. Who is the wealthy guy out of Texas? Not Ross Perot or the other one. He always talks about the fact that his secretary pays a greater proportion
of taxes.
Yeah, I know
who you
mean,
right.
These
are people who are taking advantage of the loopholes. I don't want to raise
like
their
the
taxes.
President.
I want to knock off the loopholes.
Well, okay. So, I mean, however,
we have
you
a good
accomplish
we have a tax rate in place. Let's just stop all the loopholes from, you know.
Okay.
And
well,
I
agree.
If President Trump turns out to someday be forced to release his business records, I'm sure it's going to show that he aggressively, or his accountants, aggressively took advantage of every loophole, every little tiny niche that they could to save him money. That, after all, would be the accountant's job, would it not? In other words, unless I came to them and said, listen, I might run for president someday. I want to pay him a lot more tax than I have to.
Yes, so that it looks good.
Right, so that it looks good. And I could say, boy, I really paid my fair share.
So he gets out the 1040 EZ, and he puts down $96 million.
Stop and think, who created these loopholes? The Congress.
Right.
They can take them away as easily as they created them, and they should take them away.
No, but they enjoy them. They're all millionaires, so they're not about to do that.
And how'd that happen on the salaries they get? How did so many of them become millionaires? You know, they all want to talk about Donald Trump here as a businessman who made his money through business. How did so many of them become millionaires?
I'm afraid I actually don't know that answer.
Well, I think that they probably did it by giving speeches for $250,000 to foreign entities.
Okay. And you know, Fred Trump's going to come back.
Fred
Keller's going to come back. Fred Trump's an
old... Was that a Freudian slip?
A guy up in Columbia County. Fred Trump. He used to run the Bloomsbury Fair.
Yeah, the Bloomsbury Fair, right.
But, Fred Keller's going to come back from Washington a millionaire. What are we going to do about that?
I know Fred well enough to know he won't come back with much more than he started out with.
Okay. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. We're talking about bad governance, whether it's school districts, state government. Well, we haven't really talked about the bad state government, but we certainly can. And the bad government in Washington, D.C. We have not mentioned Trump except accidentally, but we can talk about that.
We did. The email I read was about President Trump.
Yeah, that's right. The Stephanopoulos interview was brought up again. 1-800-795-9565. We're enjoying open phones. Call us on the topic of your selection. We'll take all comers. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number.
It's been a great spring at Sunbury Motors Kia, and they want to keep the strong momentum going into summer with the Summer Sticker Sales Event. Summer is our favorite season, and you'll agree with these great deals. Lease a 2019 Kia Forte LXS for just $199 a month for only 36 months with $1,600 total due at signing. Save over $6,000 on a 2019 Sereno LX, now just $27,301. There's $5,000 in savings on a 2019 Kia Sportage, now only $21,901. Plus, get 0% APR financing for 66 months on select 2019 models. And all Kias come with a 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty, making it the best summer ever at Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
Financing through KMF. Lease term is 3 months. 10,000 miles per year. $1,600 total due signing or equivalent trade. No security deposit required. Tax and tax extra. Offer expires 6/30/19. Warranty is a limited powertrain warranty. For details, see retailer or go to kia.com.
Yes, I'm sorry. That was my cue, wasn't it? Okay.
It was.
It says, good morning. The wall has cost taxpayers $1 billion for 1 mile of wall. I think Trump wants 1,000 miles. How much would that cost? Trump tells the truth. He would break federal law. I hope Americans are listening. Signed, Bob. Trump tells the truth. He would break federal law. Well, I'm not certain what that sentence means.
Maybe about reallocating money.
If Trump tells the truth, he would break federal law? No.
Maybe reallocating funds that are already designated for one thing by the Congress, and President Trump would use them for something else.
Right. Well, and then I was taken to task, and we didn't get a chance. On Thursday, we went on to other topics, and we never got a chance to read our friend Tom's email. He says, Joseph Donald McGranahan. I don't know whether that was intentional or he doesn't know how to spell my name. some days I don't know how to spell my name either, but it's not Ham, although I've been accused of that. It's Han, H-A-N. Joe Don, as he wants to call me, once again hung his dirty laundry out for all to see. Several of the frequent callers did likewise. It seems Joe Don is against helping the less fortunate and spend much of the show crying and complaining about a so-called socialistic program that would help lower-income people with some extra income.
Right, and this is conversing about
the Ilhan Omar's proposal to give up to $6,000 to people.
And significantly increase the
debt.
That's the corollary, but the purpose, what's the credit that people get if they're head of household?
She called it an income tax credit on steroids.
Okay, but there's a different name for it. But anyway,
people... I have the story here. Right. You're right.
It's the head of household credit that certain people get. If they don't earn X number of dollars, it's supplemented by federal dollars when you get your income tax refund.
Wait a second. I have the story. you're right. She called it something on steroids, but what did she call it on steroids? Oh, my
gosh.
It's
the blank...
I can't find
tax credit on steroids.
Yeah.
It's about two-thirds of the way through the story.
The former state representative won a seat in Congress last fall, continues to be dogged by past missteps, this time 8 violations of campaign law. Maybe that's not the story.
Anyway.
I thought I had it here, but I guess I don't. Anyway, we digress from Tom's excoriation of me here.
Let's get back to that.
let's get back to that. I know you're enjoying it. I can see the smile on your face over there. Let's see. What I didn't hear from Joe Don was any complaints on the many, many, many billions of dollars handed out through corporate subsidies to corporations making billions of dollars already. This is corporate socialism. Joe Don and his Republican cohorts have no problem with this as they can make money through investments. They, however, can't make any money helping the needy. The law of the Republicans is this: anything you can't make money off of is socialism. This has been demonstrated countless times, very easy to see through. Below is the very, very true observation on many Republicans. And I think he's quoting here. While you were so worried that socialism would steal your freedoms, capitalism stole your pension, took your savings, sent your job overseas, robbed you of your health care, dismantled the education system, and put you in debt, leaving you only your racism, xenophobia, hate, and guns. Sad but true in the Alabama section of Pennsylvania. What a happy guy you are, Tom.
Nice email. Thank you. Send many more just like it. And Joe yells when he gets to the capital letters, so that, in case folks aren't following that.
Well, that's screaming, is it not? In
emailese.
If you type everything in capital letters, you're screaming at the person.
Mm-hmm.
So I read the screams.
I know. There used to be somebody who would, just in the interest of not using lowercase, would send out everything in uppercase, so you'd get this letter. You'd get an email. Are you going to the picnic Saturday? I'm like, oh my gosh, you don't have to yell.
Right
here.
Well, in this case, I mean, Tom is so far off the mark, it's kind of sad.
What?
It wasn't that we don't want to help the poor people, but, you know, the answer to helping poor people isn't necessarily just throwing money at them, which is what Representative Ilhan Omar wants to do. That's not necessarily the answer. Would you agree with me on that?
No, he wants to help, or she wants to help the working poor with a tax credit that's more substantial.
So where does this money come from? Again, Tom's answer, I'm sure, is let's soak the rich. That's always the answer to everything the left wants to do. If the rich just paid their fair share, if corporations paid their fair share, and I can agree with that, but their fair share has already been determined, let's just cut out the loopholes and let everybody pay what's already been assessed.
Well, if the Trump economy keeps growing, I'm sure revenues eventually will exceed expenses in Washington, D.C.
Well, that won't matter because they'll just spend it on something else.
Right. It's like in Harrisburg, they're trying to figure out how they can spend the so-called surplus. It's actually money that is naturally coming in through existing taxes.
Calvin Coolidge always used to say, and I'm paraphrasing here because I don't remember the exact quote, but what it says was, the federal money attracts attention because it doesn't seem to belong to anyone in particular. So the temptation to bestow it on someone is almost overwhelming. So you have more money than you thought. Pennsylvania is at least talking about putting it in a rainy day fund. The feds would just spend it on something else.
And one of our listeners sends me a note, says it's just the earned income tax credit, Mark.
That's it. Earned income tax credit.
It doesn't have anything to do. It doesn't say it's for families.
No, but she said it was the earned income tax credit on steroids.
Right. Righty right.
You know, so there are certainly ways to help the poor. I don't know that that was the best way.
Cindy, we all have a minute.
I think that what we should do is do away with the tax deduction for charitable donations. And that way, everybody who does something charitable is truly being charitable. And that would increase the revenue for the federal government, who could use that money, obviously. That's what I think we should do.
So get rid of the charitable donations. And we did get rid of expenses for individuals that were deducting their expenses for work, correct? But we didn't get rid of charity.
No, no, we didn't get rid of them. We can still deduct for work-related things.
And I agree with Joe. We ought to make it fair, get rid of all of these tax breaks, including the tax break for charitable donations. You know, I don't take very many of my charitable donations as a tax break. We could eliminate a whole branch of the IRS if we did away with worrying about 501c3s, and you could just be a charitable organization. Give your money away if you want to. Come, embrace it.
Well, this is reversed today. You got your minute first, so if you have another topic, we'll give you more time. But right now, we have to take a break for the news. You're listening to On the Mark on WKOK Radio, Sunbury, Pennsylvania. I'm Joe McGranahan with the distinguished and handsome Mark Lawrence. We'll be back after the news.
We have news headlines coming up, and then we will resume open phones arguing. This is WKOK Sunbury.
News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
Greetings and welcome on board the WKOK live telephone talk show On the Mark. I'm Mark Lawrence. Joe is on the other side of the microphone there, so we appreciate him coming in.
Well, thank you,
that's
Mark.
That's your cue again, buddy. You're falling apart here. All right, what are you looking up? What's so interesting to you?
Well, I was looking up a definition of a word I was curious about.
All right. 1-800-795-9565 is the word that Joe was looking up. You can look it up on your phone and dial it. We have four open lines right now. We're enjoying an open phones Monday. We're talking about our bad government, bad president, bad tax laws, and some other bad things. So call us now. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. On the Mark, sponsor of the Sunbury Motor Company. You can check them out at sunburymotors.com. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com, and you can text us at 70236. Some brief news headlines. A flash flood watch is in effect for the Valley. National Weather Service has issued the watch for all of the central Susquehanna Valley counties from 2 p.m. today until late tomorrow night. National Weather Service says some of the strong thunderstorms expected in the Valley could bring torrential rainfall, which can cause flash flooding or ponding along roadways or minor flooding in poor drainage areas. AccuWeather says we'll see a couple of showers and a thunderstorm this afternoon with more rain expected tomorrow. It looks like there could be some long-awaited movement in Harrisburg on legislation to allow local police to use radar for speed enforcement. Last week, the State Transportation Committee, or the Senate Transportation Committee, approved a bill that would give municipal police the ability to use radar. State Representative Linda Schlegel-Culver, a member of the House Transportation Committee, says she is optimistic.
If I had to place a bet, will it get out of committee or not, I think it would get out of committee. But because it hasn't been on the floor yet, I can't tell how it'll play out on the entire House. But overall, I think we're getting pretty positive comments.
Culver says there will be some restrictions on the overuse of radar.
Radar can't be used everywhere, and it's not effective everywhere. There are parameters as when you can use it and how you can use it. You definitely have to be trained. It's just another measure to keep the driving public safe.
Now, the bill also includes a revenue cap on the amount of money a municipality could keep from speeding tickets. Currently, Pennsylvania is the only U.S. state that does not allow local police to use radar for monitoring traffic speed. What's the LIDAR component in this bill?
Well, radar has to be used stationary. LIDAR can be used moving. The state police officers in the past have always opposed municipal police having radar, but now they want LIDAR, so they have removed their objection to get that included in the bill. And it is included in the Senate bill that's under consideration. The best of the bills out there is Senate Bill 605.
And will this make it through? I'm pessimistic. I don't think
it made
will.
It through the Senate the last time. The problem was the House. And, of course, they didn't act on it fast enough. The end of the session rolled around, and you had to start all over again. Senator Randy Volkovich really shepherded it through the last time. This time, another senator has taken the lead, and it has. I think it's going to pass the Senate fairly easily. The question will be in the House, you know, whether or not they'll have the courage to come up. But if they don't, then someone has to explain to me why it is that our state lawmakers believe our municipal police in Pennsylvania are either more incompetent, crooked, or stupid than other police departments in the rest of the United States, because we're the only state that sees our municipal police having radar as a problem.
Maybe they're concerned about misuse, using it for just a revenue-generating speed trap.
Mark, you can do that. We have VASCAR that we use in Shamokin Dam, and some of the other municipalities around here use that. Or an older technology is kind of a stopwatch-based technology. But, you know, VASCAR, we could set that up on the highway, and we could have a field day knocking people off. It's usable, but it's an officer safety issue. It's difficult to set up. And once you set it up, you might as well let it up for a while.
When you need two officers to run it? Or
No, one will do it.
Okay.
One will do it. You put these devices on the side of the highway. One has to be on each lane or facing each other. It's like it's a light beam that shines across. We break the first beam, you break the second beam, and that tells the officer how fast you're going. And they can set it to say, just show me cars going 10 miles or 15 miles over the speed limit. So we could set up a speed trap in the Burr Shamokin Dam and anywhere else where you have that fairly easily if that was the goal. But the goal is to have the best technology available for controlling speed. Pennsylvania has the third highest rate of speed-related traffic fatalities in the nation.
Oh, yeah.
And the reason is that the speed enforcement is not uniform.
Yeah, we just had a pedestrian. Pedestrian deaths are way up, too. Is that a factor
in
this conversation?
State police use radar, and they'll be in some boroughs and some municipalities setting up their radar, and those places get to use it, but local police don't. So, I mean, just the inequality of the thing is rankling.
All right.
And I think it's insulting to say that, you know, well, we'll use it to make money. We'd have to issue a ton of tickets. We can't force people to break the speed limit. You know, it's not like we can generate, you know, speed up
you
here.
You make it 5 miles an hour in one section.
Well, and that's one of the things you have to do. For you to use it on your local streets, you have to get PennDOT approval to show that the street has a realistic speed limit on it and that it's not, going to be used as a speed trap. Typically, those things are done where the speed limit changes on a roadway where it drops from 50 to 40. So you set up right inside the 40, and if you find somebody going 52 or 53, and you nail them.
Right. But isn't there like a buffer zone that you have to observe before you set up a speed trap after the speed limit changes?
Not that I'm aware
of. Half a mile. But I would check that. I think there's when the speed limit changes, there's a buffer area.
Well, we don't do it. We don't have a speed trap, so I'm not familiar with how they operate.
No, what the old trail's always 35, and every once in a while we see you doing speed enforcement down there.
Well, we've got some complaints from people that the speed limit's not being adhered to down there.
Right, which is mandatory on that street. All right, also in the news in Pennsylvania, good fiscal times may not necessarily mean good fiscal policy out of Harrisburg. All the rage in the state capitol now is the surplus that state government rolled up in the almost-ended fiscal year. But that surplus hasn't necessarily changed outside views that Pennsylvania has tall fiscal challenges. The surplus is expected to ease the passage of an on-time budget and leave a substantial sum to deposit into a reserve fund. Such a deposit hits on a key criticism of credit rating agencies that Pennsylvania lacks reserve cash. Still, Pennsylvania remains among the lowest rated states by credit rating agencies, which often criticize the state's budget management practices. In a research note last week, Moody's said Pennsylvania has routinely shown little willingness to enact structural solutions to its budget challenges. All right, we do have a few more headlines we can pass on, but they're more like conversation starters, less important news headlines, so we'll set those aside for the moment since we have a caller waiting and an email waiting. So let's go to the caller. 1-800-795-9565 is the number that Cindy dialed to get through. Cindy, you're on the mark.
You know, the Simpson-Bowles Commission, which functioned under the Obama administration, took a look at the tax breaks the whole tax system of our country. And I thought that their findings, I read the report, were really astounding. For example, that charitable tax break, the vast majority of the value, the people who get to collect on it, are the wealthy people who donate a picture to a museum or a building in their name to a university, that kind of stuff. Now, nothing stops them from donating that picture to the museum or that building to the university that they're, for example, an alum from, whether or not they get a federal tax deduction. So I think we should just do away with the tax deduction for charitable giving. Another one that I thought was remarkable is that people who own more than one home still get to take those tax deductions for the local taxes, et cetera, on your home, interest on your mortgage. We ought to do away with that. If only it should only exist for the primary residence where the person actually lives. And all of these rich people, and that's, again, where they showed that most of the value of this goes to people with multi-million-dollar mansions here, there, and everywhere. Well, nothing stops them from buying them, whether or not they get to deduct all those costs of owning that extra property off their taxes should be a whole different issue. Of course, the realtors had a cow when that came up because they make money selling houses to these rich people, so they want the rich people to get these tax breaks.
All right, and
but there's two good examples we could get rid of in a heartbeat.
All right, and in the same conversation, we talked about the new tax law that was passed last year, and so I looked that up, and TurboTax put out a little primer for folks who are getting ready to do their taxes, and of course, it went on and on about the different tax exemptions and so on, and tax relief for families, and a lot of people were already aware of that increases in the child tax credit, but it eliminated or reduced some deductions, and that's what we talked about. The bill eliminates the personal and dependent exemptions for 2018. The bill limits the amount of state and local and income tax that you can now deduct. It caps it at $10,000. The bill eliminates the tax penalty for not having health insurance. Of course, that was part of reducing the impact of Obamacare. For self-employed contractors, freelancers, sole proprietors, and small businesses, it has a myriad of changes, the biggest of which is a reduction in the top corporate rate to 21%, a new 20% deduction for incomes from certain types of pass-through entities, partnerships, S-corps, sole proprietorships, etc. Also limits on expensing of interest from borrowing, doubling the amount small businesses can expense from the Section 179 amount, whatever that is, I guess.
But they didn't close enough of the loopholes. I agree with Cindy on that. Yeah. Although I'm not so certain I agree on the charitable giving. Maybe there should be a cap to that, because I agree the guy who donates a chair at the university or a building now named after him seems a bit excessive. But I think you can make a good argument that charitable contributions do a lot to increase our society, the benefits to our society.
Well, sure they do, Joe. So do them. I don't need a cookie from the federal government to get me to help my neighbors. I do it without that cookie.
Well, so you do, but maybe really some people charitable. Want that cookie.
Well, then they're not being charitable. And then the truth is that their neighbors are paying for it, not them. So I think we ought to take a look at that, as well as do away. I don't see why you should get all these tax breaks on a second and third with home. That's ridiculous. You get it? I can see it on your primary residence. That's the rule here in Pennsylvania. You get that property tax rake on your home, but only on your primary residence. If you own multiple houses in Pennsylvania, you don't get to take the Pennsylvania tax break on all of them. So I think those are the kinds of things that we could look at. I also think we ought to do away. I think capital gains, when you make income on capital gains, that's owning stock. For those people who don't understand, and your stock goes up in value, you get a gain. From that, you should be taxed on that just as you, at the same rate as income that you've earned. In but, other fashion.
But you are taxed on long and short-term capital gains. You are taxed on them.
But not at the rate that you pay for actual labor, Joe.
Well, yeah, but it's not actual labor. It's not, you know.
15% versus we charge labor 28, 30, 40%. That's ridiculous. If anything, it should be the reverse. We should reward labor by charging it less and reward and charge more to gains from non-labor income gains like interest and investment.
Well, it's funny how...
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Goodbye. It's funny how when you're talking about charitable deductions, there is no limit on the upper end. You know, you can do charitable deductions until your tax bill is completely eliminated.
I don't think you can, Mark. I think there's some kind of a...
It's certainly going to trigger
an audit by the IRS if you do that.
If you eliminate your tax. But there is a cap. There may be a cap on the upper end, but there definitely is a cap on the lower end. You have to have donated and or have deductibility of over $10,000 before you can deduct.
Here's where I think Cindy's wrong. I mean, let's say I have extra income that I don't have any particular use for. I can get it as a, give it to a charity and I get that off my income tax, or I can go buy a yacht, or I can go buy, you know, a new TV set for the family room. If I give it to the charity because I get a tax break, that's an incentive for me to be charitable. Mm-hmm. On the other end, why not just spend it on myself? I mean, Cindy seems to think that altruism flows naturally. I don't think it does. I think sometimes altruism has to be incentivized.
Right. We see a lot of foundations out there taking good care of a lot of people. Not because people like foundational giving.
But I agree there should be a limit to it. And, you know, excessive giving to one particular institution. I think there ought to be a cap on how much you can give to any one institution.
Okay. What if you're a glozillionaire and you want to give $1 billion to the Red Cross? Why should you be limited?
Well,
it doesn't matter to you.
Give that $1 billion to 55 other charities. Give them each $1 billion.
Oh, okay. Oh, that sounds fair. We want you to be charitable, and here's how you have to do it.
Well, what's wrong with that?
Okay. You want to limit on certain big donations to one organization.
Well, I mean, if my intent was to donate, I agree with Cindy on one hand. If your intent is to donate and to help out, that's one thing. But if your intent is to get a building named after you or a chair endowed in your honor at a university or a wing named after you at the local hospital.
Right.
You know, how charitable is that? I don't think there should be a quid pro quo. You shouldn't get something in return for your donation except a tax break.
All right, it is time for a break. We were talking about the tax laws. Earlier we talked a little bit about our good president who is in office right now. We have some new information that relates to his reelection campaign, so Joe can read that clipping when we come back. But we also have an email that relates to President Trump. So we'll take all comers, 1-800-795-9565. Maybe there's a topic on your mind you wanted to weigh in on this, give us a call. 1-800-795-9565 is our open phone.
For nearly 100 years, Purdy Insurance has been your locally owned, family-operated source for insurance products. With a staff of over 20 and partnerships with some of the industry's most trusted companies, Purdy has the experience and resources to get the job done. Whether you need personal, home, and auto, or complex business insurance solutions, Purdy will help you navigate through the process. Call today at 570-286-5855, or better yet, stop in their Sunbury office to see what Purdy Insurance can do for you.
Welcome back. WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show on the mark, 1-800-795-9565. We're enjoying extremely open phones, so if there's anything on your mind at all whatsoever you'd like to talk about, today's the day. All four lines are open. One of our listeners sends us this reminder.
He says, would you please consider mentioning the 4-foot law in reference to bicycle riders on our highways? All right, we mentioned it.
What is it?
I don't know.
It's that vehicles have to pass a bicycle 4 feet away. You can't go so close.
Well, who's going to get the tape measure out?
Well, bicyclists know.
Okay.
And cars know that they're getting close, but you got to give bicycles wide berth.
All right.
Most people ignore that law and just ride as close as they can. It's very dangerous. We talk about this a lot on our Sunrise, but very rarely and on the mark. So that's why our good listener is reminding folks, give wide berth to bicycles. Treat them like the motorists that they are. They have standing as...
All right. And one of our other emailers says, as we know, when President Trump gets bellowing on any subject he thinks might be unfair to him, his believers with little or no knowledge on many topics covered by the Constitution get their hackles up in his support. His latest thing, which is covered by the 22nd Amendment, ratified on February 27, 1951, it is two and done. However, I'm quite sure he will use this like a build the wall theme to have it screamed at his rallies from now until election days. Eight more years until they are frothing at their mouths. He wants to be king.
Well, we can't have kings. That's in the Constitution.
Well, we could have. George Washington was offered that, but he chose not to take it.
Okay, but and then the Constitution says we can't use like knighting and all that, right?
Right. We've stopped that kind of thing. So,
but it's unconstitutional.
Well, I don't think, you know, FDR, let's face it, you know, he, our writer here, wants to insult the president, but the only guy who ran for more than two terms was Franklin Delano Roosevelt, who happened to be a Democrat.
Oh, he's a bad man.
No, he was a good man, and thank God he did.
All right, I'm just harassing you.
We would have, you know, it would have been a lot harder to change horses in the middle of the Second World War. And one of our others says, good morning. What I was saying about Trump is he told the truth that he would break the law for the next election with George on ABC.
Right. He did say he would break the law.
And no, he said that
he accidentally told the truth.
If he thought there was something wrong, he might take it to the FBI. I still don't see what the crime is in listening to somebody. If you say to me, I've got the dirt on somebody, or if you walk up to me and say, hey, do you know about so-and-so? And you've heard something you want to tell me. What should I do? Report to the FBI for telling me something insulting or bad about somebody?
Well, if I'm just asking this, this is an actual question to you. Is not information
answer.
Valuable? So if it's from a foreign entity and he's giving you something valuable, is that not illegal? Wouldn't that fly in the face of the emolument clause?
How are you going to define the value of the information? What if the information is incorrect? It has no value if it's incorrect.
Okay.
And if you use it, it could have a detriment to you.
Right, but if it's accurate and it's ultra-valuable and it helps you win the election, but even then it would be hard to put an actual dollar sign value on that. It would be, what, $200,000 a year? That's the salary
if
for president.
If I said to you, hey, I've got something on your opponent, it's going to cost you $10,000 for me to give it to you, and you give me the
$10,000. Oh, well, that's different.
We've now created a problem. But if I just walk up to you and say, hey, did you know candidate Y is doing something really nasty, and here's what it is? And you say, oh, gee.
Thank you. That's good to know. I'll check it out.
Right. So what's the problem with that?
Okay.
You know, but I still think the problem with respect to our elections being interfered with starts and ends with the Congress. They should be passing meaningful legislation to stop it. And now I saw a story this morning. I don't remember.
The Congress passing meaningful legislation.
I don't know where I saw this, but there was a story this morning.
Is that an oxymoron?
That the administration is ramping up its ability to interfere with Russia's power grid. And
right. Well, that's
the president accused the New York Times of treason for reporting that story.
Right. Isn't that
you
on
have that
here?
There?
You know what? I didn't include it in here. Oh, yeah. This is from Associated Press, and this is a really distilled down version of a much longer story that's meant for broadcasters. The longer story is for print. The short one's for broadcaster. It says, President Donald Trump has ramped up the rhetoric even higher than usual in this, his latest swipe at the New York Times. Trump claimed the newspaper engaged in a virtual act of treason for running a story that said the U.S. was stepping up cyber intrusions into Russia's power grid. The Times says it's an effort to deter future cyber activity by Russia on the heels of the nation's meddling in the 2016 presidential election. For its part, the Times says the traitor remark from Trump is dangerous. It says it told U.S. officials about the story before it ran, and no security issues were raised.
So, do you think there are security issues there?
Well, this raises the question, why are we hacking into Russia's...
Because they hacked into ours.
What
better deterrent is there than us being able to come back at them the same way they came at us?
So there can be no president more than President Trump who is well aware that two wrongs now make a right.
Oh, come on, Mark. Let's get serious.
So they hurt ours, so we hurt them.
If they're interfering with our elections, is it not wrong for us to... is it not right for us to interfere with them?
With their electrical
just
grid.
So that they realize that there are going to be consequences. You mess with us in the next election cycle, and you just might be sitting in the dark for a while.
All right, so we need consequences. The Russians
interfered. The Democrats have been screaming for consequences.
Right,
now the president wants to give them one.
Right. Well, I was just going to say, okay, so this is the president. He's mad that his so-called consequences have been discovered and put in the New York Times, and that it's treasonous for them to have published this. But what has the president done?
What is treason?
What has the president done in order to exact consequences? So we know Russians interfered with the 2016 election. That's now stipulated by all sides. And what do we do to President Putin in order to punish him?
Well, we let him sit in the dark for a while if he keeps it up.
We embrace him, and we make him our best friend. We are literally, well, the, President Trump says literally, he's in love with him.
He hasn't said that recently.
So is that punishment? Is that considered punishment when you fall in love with the criminal who burgles your house?
Take that out of the, yeah, that's called the Stockholm Syndrome. Take that out of the equation. Let's just say that the Russians have interfered with our elections.
Let's say.
Interfering.
Oh, there's
all right,
a funny stipulation.
Let me finish. So are we going to interfere with theirs? They don't have free elections. So how can we interfere with it? Nobody would believe if Putin lost because no one but Putin supporters are allowed to vote. So we can't go after them that way. What way can we go after them? Well, we can mess with their infrastructure.
So you're saying vengeance is our only guide for foreign policy.
Well, what do you suggest we do? Say, oh, please, Vladimir, please don't do that again.
Be the bigger person, triple our defenses to make sure it doesn't happen to us again.
So, in other words, don't be proactive. Just wait, hope we can stop it without making sure that we can do something back to them. No, I'm sorry. If the Chinese steal our intellectual property, I'm perfectly fine with us tapping into their computers and stealing theirs.
Okay. Right, because two wrongs definitely make a right.
I'm fine with it.
In Joetopia, two wrongs make a right. In Marketopia, we try to be the bigger person and the more intelligent person.
You're all wusses sitting around saying, oh, please don't hurt me, please.
Yes, the hawkish Joe is beginning to emerge. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. We're talking about the New York Times publishing, and Joe's happy that we were doing this. He's probably sad that he got discovered, but that we are hacking into the Russian electrical grid and but it doesn't say what we want to do. It doesn't say that we want to create blackouts. It just says we want intelligence. 1-800-795-9565. All right, Bobby will be the first caller. Good morning, sir. You're on the mark.
Yes, good morning, everyone. Concerning the charitable contributions, you know, when you're a nonprofit organization, you have to make ends meet somehow. And so that's one of the ways that some of these nonprofits do. You know, especially in our hometown of Sunbury here, with the fire companies, and you know, in your major cities, you have paid fire department and paid ambulance services. You know, but here we don't. So there's a I'm going to say that there's a different way to skin the cat. And I'm all for charitable contributions.
But don't skin any cats. No cats were skinned for this political observation. All right. Thank you, Bobby. Appreciate the call.
One of our emailers says, and he's got right on target with what we're discussing.
So to speak.
Yes. He says, hello. It's starting to happen now. Over the weekend, Target self-checkout crashed. Argentina had their elections hacked over the weekend with a power failure. What's next? What would the United States do if this happened on Election Day? Actually, there is no evidence that I'm aware of that Argentina had their elections hacked. It just had to vote in the dark. It said they were forced to use the light from cell phones to cast their votes. I think they use a paper ballot system. I don't believe it's electronic.
What caused the Target outage? Do you happen to know that answer?
I don't know, but it affected three countries down there.
Okay.
Guatemala. I forget the three countries that it hit.
Storms or something was caused.
Well, it could. We don't. They don't
issues.
Know yet.
Okay.
They don't know whether it was external or internal.
Well, you know if you had a storm.
Well, yes, but I don't think it was a storm that caused the problem.
You go outside the theater and you hold your arms up and see if water falls into them.
Right, the weather rock. If the rock is wet, it's raining.
We have a weather string at our house.
Do you?
Actually, above my tree stand when I'm hunting, I do have a weather string. All right, 1-800-795-9565 is the Hometown Pharmacy's toll-free line. Stand by Dan. Stand by somebody who just sent us an email. We will be right back. Welcome back to the KOK Live Telephone Talk Show on the Mark. We got one caller waiting, but we'll take more comers. 1-800-795-9565.
Davin Hill says, so Mark is calling his beloved Obama a liar when he said that no votes were changed by the Russians.
What did President Obama say that?
Him a liar.
I'm saying that the president, or that the election was not hacked. So nobody logged into Pennsylvania's voting machines and changed a vote. It's obvious that the Russian hacking into the Facebook and on Twitter and all that other stuff, that had an impact. That changed people's minds. And so then when they went to the polls, they voted, according. But I don't think it I don't have any evidence that the Russians hacked into the election.
You're tap dancing here. I mean, you're quite a tap dancer. Very agile on your feet.
Well, I have to say things slowly for our listeners here because it's obvious that...
You're implying our listeners need to be talked to slowly?
Who was that? Oh, Dave on the Hill. Dave does not know that President Obama is talking about the Russian Facebook and Twitter observations changing people's votes when they went to the poll versus what he's asking, did the Russians hack into the election machines and change votes? There's no evidence of that. There is no evidence of that.
Well, I hope we're preparing to hack into their power grid or something
you
else.
You want to cause blackouts. Let's get some Russian blackouts going. Joe wants some blackouts badly. Dan, do you also favor that, the idea it's time for us to hack into Russia's electrical grid and cause some blackouts?
I guess down where we live, we don't know what goes on. And it's best we don't know everything that goes on in the Secret Service and in the CIA and all that. So we don't know, as civilians, what all goes on in the upper echelon. But I'm disappointed, Mark, that on Friday you failed to mention our dear president's birthday. And I was hoping that you might have a duet with your guest host on Friday and sing Happy Birthday, President
Somebody
Trump.
Mentioned it, I thought. Did nobody mention it the whole 90 minutes?
No, I was so hurt. I didn't know what to do.
Why didn't you call?
And I thought, well, maybe they'll sing a duet or maybe gather together some of this staff and have a choral number. But didn't happen.
And how old is he? He's like 70-something,
73
right?
Now. Okay. Yeah. And also, I was disappointed in George Will. There's not much use I go out and vote in the next election. George Will said the one person for sure is going to lose the election is President Trump. He's going to lose. So... what's the use I go out and vote if he already knows? I don't know if he's a prophet or if he reads tea leaves or he goes to a witch or whatever. He seems to know Trump's going to lose. And the third thing I was disappointed in George Stephanopoulos' interview days, 30 hours he spent with the president, he could only mention that he mentioned Trump's collusion a lot of times, but never when Trump brought up about the collusion of Hillary Clinton into the Steele dossier, George acted as if it wasn't a real thing. You know, he acted like it was a conspiracy theory. So I was disappointed in that.
Well, you're having a terrible weekend.
Yeah,
nobody's.
We've all fallen short of Dan's expectations.
But he's glad the president had a birthday.
Yep, I was broke up, fellas.
We should have called us.
Because when I see the number of people going to Florida for Tuesday night's rally for the president and to announce his candidate, him and Mike Pence, candidate for the second term, they have so many people coming, they have a lot more than can get in the venue there. So, you know, I think maybe George Will's going out on a limb again, as the media did the last election. They're all saying Trump's behind a lot of the more popular Democrats, like he's behind Biden, a couple others.
We have Bernie Sanders, Warren, Kamala Harris, and Buttigieg.
What I can't understand, if Trump's so far behind, how about them rallies? I talked to several people that were up at the Montoursville rally, and they were lined up over a mile to get in. They couldn't get in. They had to stop letting them in.
Well, here's the rub, Dan. Let me stop you there. I have to take another caller. But if you hear the words President Trump and poll in the same sentence, don't listen to anything that happens afterward, because he wouldn't even be president if the polls were the deciders. You know, they had President Clinton, or, well, Hillary Clinton, in long before Trump even announced, and then he ran, and he, of course, he's making great headway, and they still say, no, it's got to be Clinton. So don't listen to polls. If the election were today, I'm sure President Trump would win again. That's Lawrence's even more worthless take on things. Thank you, sir. Thanks for the call. I'm sorry you're so disappointed. It is not good to be that disappointed. Are we on time? Yes, we are on time. Okay, Paul, go right ahead. You're on the mark.
Okay, a long time ago, I asked you a question, and you said you had no answer for it.
That's only happened about 52 times, but anyway, go ahead.
Okay, and the question was, what is the meaning of life? And the second part of that was, what is man's purpose? And I think I got an answer for you.
Okay.
Life is the physical existence of being able to do all the things that you cannot do before or after your existence. And man's purpose is to leave it a better place than when he found it.
Oh, I like that. That's a good one. All right, we can get past that, or we can get around that. That's a good one. All right, well, thank you, Paul. I knew if we gave you enough time on the sun porch there, you and the birds would come up with something. So you never disappoint. So I appreciate
you're saying
that.
Paul's for the birds?
No, he has birds who help him to
think,
do some distillation of some of these big topics.
Oh, okay.
Which takes us to the above-mentioned email.
We, the Democrats, voted to not mention Trump's birthday. It was our protest. And then a gentleman who was kind enough to explain to me the difference between radar and LIDAR. The difference between radar and LIDAR is that radar uses a signal that goes from the radar gun to the object and bounces back to the gun. You can have two vehicles going the same speed in both lanes, and you can't be sure what vehicle the radar gun is actually picking up. LIDAR actually pinpoints the exact target. You look through the LIDAR gun, and you can see the particular vehicle.
All right, and you were saying LIDAR can be used while moving.
Moving,
also.
Yes, it can be used while you're moving, whereas radar has to be used in stationary.
But state police don't use radar while they're moving, correct?
I don't think they're allowed to.
Okay.
I don't know whether it's a physical restriction or it's a law.
Okay.
I think it might be both.
I thought you could, but in any event, it doesn't matter. All right. Finally, remember 2016, Hillary won the election. Oh, yeah. Back to the polls.
Right.
Trump's Russia hacking in two counties in Florida goes to show why he would start in Florida now. So he's going back to the scene of the crime. All right. We do have a clipping from CNN. We promised to read a little bit of it. It's very timely as it relates to President Trump getting ready for his reelection. So that's now queued up and ready to go. Let's see. Do we have any text? You know what I did? I covered up text. I'm only missing six of them. My intuition is correct. We need to get back to the text, too. But we have open lines, 1-800-795-9565, and we have an open email in basket. You can send us an email at onthemarketwithkok.com.
At Sunbury Motors Kia, and they want to keep the strong momentum going into summer with the Summer Sticker Sales Event. Summer is our favorite season, and you'll agree with these great deals. Lease a 2019 Kia Forte LXS for just $199 a month for only 36 months with $1,600 total due at signing. Save over $6,000 on a 2019 Sereno LX, now just $27,301. There's $5,000 in savings on a 2019 Kia Sportage, now only $21,901. Plus, get 0% APR financing for 66 months on select 2019 models. And all Kias come with a 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty, making it the best summer ever at Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
Financing through KMF. Lease term is 30 months. 10,000 miles per year. $1,600 total due signing or equivalent trade. No security deposit required. Tax and tax extra. Offer expires 6/30/19. Warranty is a limited powertrain warranty. For details, see retailer or go to Kia.com.
person, not a word.
Okay, thank you so much.
You're
President
welcome.
Trump is a Svengali.
Right. Okay,
right,
we have texts, yes. Whose minds were changed in the 2016 election? Only the weak-minded had minds changed.
That is true right there. That is the truest statement ever made.
Hillary was a no-go for me from the day she announced she was running. And then this one is
well, there are a lot of other people who are undecided, but since, as our emailer says, they have weak minds, they were changed to Trump.
And this one's directed at you. Mark, is Trump supposed to just tell Putin to knock it off like Obama did? Disclosing preemptive acts against our enemies is treason. So, yes, the leftists at the New York Times are traitors. Haven't we been told by the left for the last 3 years that Russia is the enemy? Can't have it both ways. They either are or are not an enemy. And he's right on the mark with that.
Okay.
And then finally, laughing out loud, Trump has the left triggered by suggesting maybe he'll stay on after 2024. He knows he can't serve more than 8 years, but he knows how to make the left have a meltdown. What a joy to watch.
I'm having a meltdown.
Oh, my God. Well, he's talking about staying on.
They keep talking about having Don Jr. run. And so that.
How about Melania? She'd be a good president.
Possibly.
Why not? If President Clinton can have his wife run, why can't President Trump have his wife run?
You know, I'm ashamed to admit I don't know that much about her political views. You don't hear too much from her. I mean, she does good first lady things, I think, anyway.
We've had father sons follow each other before in the White House.
Really?
The Adams boys, does that ring a bell for you?
Yes. Do the Bushes?
The Adams and the Bushes.
Who else?
The Adams and the Bushes.
That's it. Those are the only father sons?
Right. Are you thinking about it?
Yes, I am. But I won't come up with any, will I?
No, you won't.
How about brothers?
No brothers. We've had distantly related cousins,
the
Roosevelts.
Oh, they're cousins. Okay, that was going to be my next question. Mm-hmm. All right, here's the CNN clipping of which we spoke.
All right, President Donald Trump plans to spend this week triumphantly setting course for a second term, but turmoil within his campaign is hinting at alarming liabilities in his bid for re-election. Trump aides said Sunday that several pollsters have paid with their jobs after revealing lagging early swing state data that raises doubts over Trump's ability to make political lightning strike again in 2020. The firings are casting a shadow over Trump's huge Florida rally on Tuesday night to formally inaugurate a re-election campaign that in reality started even before he took the oath of office.
Now, is that not an editorial comment? The firings are casting a shadow. Yes, it's
yes.
CNN. Everybody else couldn't care less.
No,
but CNN
true.
Is worried about it.
Sources told CNN that the president has been angry for days about the internal polls leaked to the media last week. The showed him losing to Democrats, including Joe Biden, in states like Michigan and Wisconsin.
All right, but let me stop you again. The firings or the termination of the companies isn't because of the outcome of the poll. It's because of the leak.
Well, he doesn't believe the outcome either, but yes, primarily
well, that may
because
be
of the
true,
leak.
But that's not why he's getting rid of them, because they came up with false results. He probably doesn't like the results, but they got leaked. I'm going to have to stop you there, because now we got callers.
All right, well...
In any event, this is a very slanted article, if I may say so.
Well,
myself.
We have one. You're right. We have one call and another one pending, so we'll take the calls. Chris.
Chris, you're on the mark.
Yeah. If it makes Dan feel any better, I don't know if George Will ever said that Trump was going to lose the election. He said that he was a terrible president and did more damage to the Constitution than Richard Nixon did and things like that, and he doesn't have the mental capacity or temperament to govern and things like that, but I don't think he ever said he was going to lose that I could find. George Clooney said he'd lose. Maybe Dan's confused.
Getting his Georges mixed up.
Maybe Solomon said that, but I heard him twice over the weekend and he never mentioned that he was the opinion that of the opinion that Trump would lose. He was afraid he'd win, to say the least, I would think.
Okay. What else?
Well, one of what your apologies for Trump are pretty weak, I thought, but I think you should look at the corruption in the Trump family, the fact that he acts like a mafia don and talks like a mafia don. And it's the things that become public that upset him. And if you look at everything he said was lies, and fake news, it turns out a lot of them are true. In fact, most of them are true. So, and his name-calling that you sort of defend as fighting back, it's not fighting back on any issue or with any facts or any information. It's name-calling. That's what he does. And if you're for a president making that as a big defense, is name call about his enemies, I think you're making a pretty weak argument for yourself.
He's a counterpuncher, Chris. Everybody knows that.
No,
you know
but
that.
Counterpunching is come back with me some facts and information to prove what the other person is saying is wrong. Don't give me crybaby Joe or something.
Nancy Pelosi says she hopes.
That's ridiculous.
Nancy Pelosi says she hopes to see him in jail. How do you come back with facts about that, Chris? You counterpunch.
Oh well, who started that one?
Now you're changing the argument. You just said come back with facts. There are
okay,
no facts to come
well,
back
she
with
thinks
from
that. He committed. He violated laws. Does he want to deny it?
Well, I think he has denied it. But
yeah,
he's also counterpunched her.
How convincingly has he denied it?
Well, to
he
you,
actually said he'd do it again.
If angels were sitting on his shoulder swearing he was telling the truth, you wouldn't believe him.
Now, you were arguing the other day that he didn't. He was right that he didn't break the law, and that what he was saying wasn't a violation of law, but the FBI director said it was.
And, of course, the FBI director was pure as the driven snow. He didn't do anything wrong. Oh, wait a second.
Well,
he was
we're
fired.
Talking about Gray, the current one that Trump appointed.
Oh, I thought we were talking about Comey.
No, we're talking about Gray.
Oh, all right. Well, Gray.
I think that's his name, Christopher Gray or something like that.
He didn't say the president did anything wrong.
Nobody
he,
says
he
getting outside influences.
He said that the president was
wrong
about his opinion of the law and taking information from the Russians.
And the president said he was wrong.
All right, well, I got to do a quickie
That's
ad
right,
here.
But he didn't put any laws about that, did he?
All right, wrap it up, Chris. Go right ahead.
Well, you have to be pretty blind not to realize what a lousy president is. Look at what Kushner and his family are doing. They're negotiating treaties and doing business at the same time. He hasn't divested anything. He's still making money off some of the things he does. I mean, he's been called out for that, too. But
okay.
If the Republicans
right.
in the Senate
Chris,
don't
we're almost
care,
out of time.
We can't do anything about it.
Chris, we got to go. We're out of time,
can.
Chris.
Throw the bum out.
Thank
Bye,
you.
Chris.
Yep.
We're out of time.
Appreciate the call.
And I'm well aware that Melania Trump cannot run for president because she wasn't born in this country.
Yes, six callers have told us this via text, email, phone call,
I was speaking
every other
more, speaking as if she were an American citizen, but she isn't.
I should have easily known
Well, she
that.
Is an American citizen. She's just not native born.
Right. Sunbury Motor Company sponsors our show. They sell Ford, Hyundai, Kia, and Lincoln cars and trucks. A premier service provider for all makes of cars and trucks and all sizes of trucks. Master towing service. Tons of pre-owned vehicles that have gone through a 200-point inspection and are ready to go. They have online specials, too, at sunburymotors.com. They got the quick lane. They'll pump you up with nitrogen, change your oil, do the inspection, wash the car, and do some body work, too. And you can check it all out at sunburymotors.com. We'll see you tomorrow, Joe. This is News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury. WKOK News Time, 10 o'clock.